And now, the show that's all about baseball.
That's when the game, to me, is at its best.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Bigelow Tea, KM Hot Dogs, I Promise, official eye vitamin of the Boston Red Sox, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, and Window World.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You mentioned Chris a second ago. Have you decided if he's going to be a starter or a reliever in this series?
He'll pitch. Yeah, he'll pitch. He'll be part of this, and he'll be an important part of this.
That was Alex Cora yesterday at Fenway Park as the Red Sox went through their final preparations here in Boston before they headed to Houston for Game 1 of the American League Championship Series tomorrow night. Red Sox arrived in Houston today. Alex Cora went to the podium later this afternoon, within the last hour or so, and then made the announcement that Chris Sale will pitch Game 1 tomorrow night against the Houston Astros at Minute Maid Park. So there you go. Chris Sale, your Game 1 starter. Nathan Eovaldi will go Game 2. We'll open up the phone lines right away, 617-779-0985. We'll get to a bunch of things during the course of the program, all related pretty much to the Red Sox and the Astros, although I do want to touch on the Los Angeles Dodgers and Mookie Betts, who are now one win from getting to the NLCS, the National League Championship Series themselves. If you didn't see it the other night, the Dodgers forced a Game 5, which will be played tonight, and a game that Mookie Betts hit a home run in, knocked in three runs, I believe it was, threw a guy out in the game before it. So I have a question for people as it pertains to Mookie Betts and the Dodgers. But let me start here with Sale. Sale is going Game 1. I don't need to tell you that his last two outings were absolutely, positively dreadful. Dreadful. And the Red Sox have announced him as their Game 1 starter. So we played the sound for you of Corey yesterday because, frankly, Cora just spoke within the last hour. It took us a little while to turn the audio around, but Jimmy Stewart, our producer, has quickly done that. And so here is it. Jimmy, is this Cora or is this Sale?
This is Cora with his opening statement, and then Ian Brown asked the follow-up question as to why Chris Sale is starting.
Perfect. Fire away, Jimmy.
Yeah. We're going Chris and we're going Nate. Chris is starting Game 1, Nate is starting Game 2.
What went into the decision to go with
just that? The whole series, you know. It's a 7-game series. You got to win 4. Everybody has to be part of this, and we feel comfortable with Chris with the rest that he got, and obviously giving Nate one more day is going to benefit. The off day, the structure of the bullpen tomorrow, so.
Okay, so there you go. That is Cora's, and we'll play more for you, and I'll tell you more what was said here in Houston. Chris Sale says, look, we'll find out what we've got tomorrow, you know, we'll get a better idea. Sale knows he's pitched like garbage. Cora himself said that they think they've unlocked some sort of mechanical issue with Sale. Nathan Eovaldi apparently had a hand in that, according to Jen McCaffrey of The Athletic. She reported that Eovaldi identified some sort of mechanical glitch in Sale's delivery and that all these things are a factor. But Sale will go a Game 1. Eovaldi will go Game 2. And before we get to the why the Red Sox are doing it this way, let me just tell you that I hate it. I hate it.
I don't blame you. I think it's too risky given that last performance. And really, you know, it's not just that last performance. His last three starts have been trending downwards. And I thought he was awful in that game Friday night in Tampa. So I'm surprised at this. We were talking about him last night. You know, I think you asked the question, how would you use him? I said maybe like middle relief. But if he truly found something in the bullpen the other night, Maz, like you're talking about here with this report from The Athletic, okay, I could feel a little bit better about it. But I would have went Eovaldi, Rodriguez, games 1 and 2.
Yeah, so that's, I would have gone Eovaldi. If I was going to pitch Sale Murray, I'd have pitched him in game 2. Okay, I'd have pitched him in game 2. I don't want him in game 3, and I don't want him in game 1. So I don't want him in game 1 because I don't want to start the series with him. I don't want him in game 3 because that lines him up potentially for game 7. So I want nothing to do with that. Frankly, I'm not sure I would have started him at all, but the Red Sox are going to do that. I hate it. I'm curious as to what fans think of it. And I can guess, but I think most fans hear Chris Sale and they believe in the name that is Chris Sale, but I don't believe in the pitcher that is Chris Sale right now. And so to me, there are, you know, a lot of variables here with Sale that you have to really consider. And Sale has not been good here, you know, for a little bit. And his numbers in the postseason overall, and his career in the postseason are dreadful. He's been bad on 4 days of rest. This will not be 4 days of rest. So this is another reason why I think if the Red Sox are going to get him in, maybe they get him in now.
You gave that postseason ERA the other day. It's 7 and change, right?
Yeah, it's over 7.
Oof.
It's over 7. And I'll give you the 4 day breakdown on Chris Sale here when we get a moment. But those numbers are dreadful too. And again, he's getting more rest here. So this idea that the Red Sox have somehow unlocked something with Sale, I hate it. Now, why are they doing it? Again, I have my theories, but I want your thoughts first. So we'll kick it off tonight with Mike, who's in Norwell, will be caller heavy tonight and tomorrow night as we gear up for game one. Mike, what do you got?
Hey, Maz. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a quick kind of question statement. Do you think that this Astros-Red Sox can turn into a grudge match? Do you think these dudes are going to go at each other at all? And pitch at each other?
You mean throw at each other?
Because of the bad blood between the, you know, like, I know there's bad blood. There has to be.
Okay, so Mike, here's what I would tell you. I hope so. Maury, do you think there could be?
Brushbacks. I don't think you're going to be seeing guys, you know, hitting people, putting them on base. I mean, you'll see that in the regular season. You're talking about the postseason here. It's just too risky. You might see some brushbacks, some barking at each other after strikeouts. I mean, you saw that in 2018 with Evaldi. And great. It'd be nice to see some fire, but let's not get stupid.
No, I don't think you'll get a brawl either. I mean, everybody knows what's at stake here. But
even guys getting plunked. I don't think you'll see that.
No, but I'll tell you what. I'll take some brushbacks.
Sure.
I'll take a little barking. I'll take some of that. Show it to me. Let's not forget, this is the third time now these teams have met in the playoffs. So the Red Sox have changed a lot of personnel. But, you know, there is some history there. This is a Red Sox team that lost to the Astros in 2017. Sale was on that team. He got his face kicked in. He pitched a better in the relief outing, I think it was at Fenway Park, but he did not pitch well in the early part of that series. So the Astros got a couple of a-holes. You know, Correa's gets some attitude. Cora gets along with him. Bregman's gets some attitude. I'm not sure that relationship is quite as good. So I wouldn't mind seeing a little intensity here. And I do think that, you know, it's the postseason. If guys start get comfortable at the plate, you know what you do? You knock them off the plate. It doesn't mean you throw at their heads. It doesn't mean you hit them in the ass. It just means you move them a little. Josh is in Medford. Josh, go.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. So I think it's actually not a bad idea to start Chris Sale in game one, just because you get an opportunity to almost, unfortunately, burn the game. And I think, so fortunately, long story short, I get to sit right behind the bullpen the very first row a lot. And just watching the way this bullpen interacts with him and the way they just kind of, they vibe off him. So I think if we ever have a chance of him doing well, it's going to be game one. And worst case, if he doesn't do well, it won't be a huge hit to their momentum because it's Chris Sale not doing well.
Okay, so
that's really it. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, so Josh, I'll tell you what. I think you got it partly right with the second part of your comment. And I think it is Sale. There's no question that Sale is an emotional leader of that pitching staff. Okay, and really of the whole team in general. I mean, I think that he's a guy that he's an intense competitor. You'll never hear me say that about him or that he's not. I believe that, you know, he likes to compete. And I would say generally he's good at it. In the postseason, he might want to compete too much. But if you're asking me to explain why he's going game one, and I don't think the Red Sox are going to come out and say this. First of all, let me also say Cora has said today that Sale is not a quote-unquote opener. That's according to Pete Abraham's Twitter account. This is not Sale serving as an opener. Sale is the starting pitcher. And so that means to me they're going to ride him basically as long as they can. And that is staying within the parameters of the analytics model. So if they don't want him to go a third time through, they won't. But this is not a one or two inning outing. Okay, they want to see what Sale's got. And I think that that's what this game's about. That's why he's going game one. Let's find out if we can use him and what he can do. We have to know. So we're going to do it right out of the gate. We're going to find out. We think we unlock something in the bullpen, which honestly, I think is kind of bull crap. I don't think that's totally it. I think it's that Sale got rest. And so I think that, and again, I'll try to find those numbers for you. So you're going to have to give me a second here as I try to punch them up and talk at the same time. But I know I looked up Sale's numbers on 4 days of rest not too long ago, and they were poor. So when he's had 5 days or more of rest, Chris Sale has done pretty well this year. But the shorter the rest, the quicker the turnaround, he has not done very well. So here I have it in front of me. With 4 days of rest, three game starts, the ERA is 4.09, but that does not include the postseason start. Okay, that includes only the last game of the year against Washington. The postseason start was worse. So he went one inning in that game and gave up five runs. So the ERA in that game is, the ERA overall there is, you know, it's approaching eight or nine when he's pitched on 4 days of rest. When he has, you know, 5 or 6 days of rest, his ERA is sub three. So, and you know, the hits per innings are down. Everything's down. Everything is down. So, to me, this is something to watch with Sale. He's not bounced back very well. My guess is the Red Sox want to get an answer here early on as to what the hell they can expect from their ace. And I do think, as Cora indicated today as well, that, you know, given Nate Eovaldi, an extra day there is beneficial as well. It is the playoffs are going to lean on him heavily. So, you know, let's find out what Sale's got here early on. What are you expecting from Sale tomorrow night? What I can tell you is that what I'm expecting is not much. I just don't think he has much. I hope I'm wrong. We'll get to your calls when we come back on the Baseball Hour.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The show where it's always a full count.
Oh, I like this.
The Baseball Hour with Tony Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Alex, I think Chris has pitched three-plus innings over the last 2 weeks. How much can you do you feel like you can get out of him tomorrow?
I mean, the goal is for a regular start, so, you know, there's no limitations. We, like I said, we're not going to pitch him if we don't feel comfortable. At one point, we had to pitch him. It just happened that he's pitching game one. So, you know, it's a regular start for him.
Have you seen enough from him with the adjustments and different things over the last week or so to, you know, what, I guess what I made you comfortable to do this?
It's Chris Sale, you know, and you know, at one point he had to pitch in this series, and we're very comfortable with him going tomorrow. I think the structure of the series and the structure of our bullpen tomorrow is going to be, we're going to be aggressive regardless, you know, but I don't expect him to come out in the first inning. You know, I expect him to go out there and pitch a good game and give us a chance to win. You know, you got to trust everybody in this roster. You know, we got 26 guys that they have to do the job for us to advance to the World Series, and he's one of them. And that's the reason he's pitching tomorrow, and then Nate will follow him.
It's not an opener.
No, we're not doing the opener thing.
Right up front, Dan, to your right, Alex.
I mean, we're not doing it tomorrow.
I think Alex Cora told you right there. If you think about it, Chris Sale has to pitch at some point in the series, says Cora. He's got to pitch sooner or later. We need him somewhere. You got to have four starters. You can't get through with three. That's not realistic. Not anymore. So you got to have four. So you know what? We're going to find out right out of the gate. What's he got? What's he got? We're going to pitch him in game one. We'll see what he's got. If he sucks, that'll be the end of it. He won't get the ball again. I told you in the Tampa Bay series, I wasn't going to give him the ball again. The fact that they had him up ready to close there, and Jimmy Stewart pointed this out. He went through the Cora stuff before I did. Because Cora initially said that Ottavino was coming into that game after Whitlock, and that was true if the game was still tied. But if the Red Sox had gone ahead, Whitlock was not going to go out for a second inning. Sale allegedly was going to close. That's if you believe Cora. That's what he said. I think the Red Sox are sending him out there because they figure if he's going to do damage, he's going to do it early, and we get a whole series to play after that. But the rest of it, I think what Alex Cora said publicly and what the Red Sox talked about behind closed doors and they were making the decision, two different things. So behind closed doors, they said, look, we got to pitch him sooner or later. Let's find out what he gives us. Then he sits up at the podium and he says, hey, it's Chris Sale. We trust him. I mean, I think they believe in the guy. I don't know if they believe in the arm right now. Coming off that surgery, he's not the same guy or hasn't been. But he has more rest. We'll see. Chuck's in a car. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, Maz, here's my take. I think you gotta take at least one out of two. You got to split. So they go with Sale for the first game and hoping maybe that he steals one But if they don't, at least you have Eovaldi to at least come away with a split in game two. That's the way I look at it. You don't want to risk the chance of Eovaldi somehow pitching a good game, but they come away with a loss. Then you're stuck with Sale to try to split.
Okay, so Chuck, from that standpoint, though, I don't know that I necessarily agree with you. I think it's the same thing either way. If Eovaldi pitches well and loses, you're still down 2-0. But I do think that they believe in Eovaldi more pitching 0-1 than they do Sale 0-1. Does that make sense? Murray, do you follow me on
that? Yeah.
In other words, if you lose the first one, who would you rather have going?
Oh.
Eovaldi or Sale?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to lose it, I guess Sale, yeah.
No, if you lose the first one, who do you want pitching game two?
Oh, Eovaldi.
Yeah. So I think that's why they set it up the way they did.
Yeah, I just don't know, and so this is why I'm with you in that I just don't like that he's starting regardless. Is like, can you be treating this so cavalierly? Like, well, we can maybe get a split. Don't worry about it. Or we're going to get a split. Like, you don't know that. It's not guaranteed.
No,
your horses in there, and Eovaldi's your best pitcher. That's why he should go game one.
Well, so I like the idea of him game one, too. It looks like he's going to go game two. So, again, I had Eovaldi one, Sale two. They're doing it the other way around. I told you, I don't like it. I don't like it. I'm trying to figure out why the hell they would do it this way. But do I think they look at Chris Sale and say he's going to give us two good starts in this series? No, I don't. And if you do, God bless you, because you have more faith in him than I do. I don't see the same stuff. Matt's in Malden. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, while I'd prefer Eovaldi getting game one, I think the logic is if Sale doesn't have it and they have to lean on the bullpen a lot more heavily in game one, Eovaldi's the one pitcher who they can ignore the third time through the lineup rule and go deeper and give the bullpen more of a rest in game two versus vice versa.
So
that's like it's protection against Sale porking them in the bullpen.
Okay, so Matt, I think you're close. And I do think the bullpen factors in. They've had 3 days off. When did they wrap up that series? Tuesday? Wednesday?
Monday.
Was Monday?
Yeah.
Okay, so again, they've had 3 days off. So I just lose track of days during the postseason, Murray. They all run together.
Yeah.
So it was 3 days. So nobody's pitched in 3 days. So if you need to pitch relievers 2 days in a row now, you can do it. And more importantly, if you need 5, 6 guys, 7 guys tomorrow night, you'll have them all, which is another reason probably why they go Sale game one. So but it's a good point. The bullpen factors in. You know, I look at it just a little differently than you do, caller. But I do think the bullpen is a factor. Absolutely. Tom's in Quincy. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, what's up, boys? Listen, you know, you guys kind of stole my thunder with the reasons why, but I personally love it because it's let's figure out who he is and if he's going to be any influence on this series, like we'll know after game one. I also think that, you know, of all places to pitch, Houston is a snake pit. And if you put an Erod down there or anybody else who's not like mentally sound, I feel like that could ruin them not only for the game they're pitching, but future games, you know, coming up. So I feel like let's figure out what Sale is. Hopefully he can get us 3 to 4 innings, hopefully. And if not, maybe have Hal come in. But, you know, if Erod or somebody else were to pitch down there and they get slammed, then I think Erod or Pivetta, they're done for the series. So I actually like the move. It's kind of fall on the sword moment for Chris Sale.
Okay, so look, again, I think you got to remember, it is a hard place to pitch. That crowd's into it down there. They get into it, you know, and that team's good. They're good at home. They're good, period. So it's a difficult place to pitch. Sale is, you know, I would say overall we think he's mentally tough. His career playoff ERA blows. I mean, it's poor. I don't know what else to tell you, and I did look it up, by the way. On 4 days of rest, and this is now counting the playoff game, his ERA this year is 7.50. Okay, when he has more than four, it's 2.84 ERA, and opponents have hit just 2.19 against him. With a regular 4 days of rest, they're batting .400. So Sale has been a garbage on regular rest. He's got plenty of rest this time. So from that standpoint, you know, I don't think you have to worry about that. And his career ERA in the postseason is 7.27. One of those games was in Houston, if you remember, back in 2017, and he got torched. So, you know, whether Erod is mentally tough or not, I'm not sure Sale can hack it down there either. Now, that said, I think the caller does make this point. Erod pitched better in the last series at home, right? So he was much better at home against the Rays than he was down there. And I think Erod's a guy you got to keep an eye on and putting him in a big spot.
Yeah, sorry. So thinking forward, yep, this sets it up so it's better because he's more trustworthy at Fenway Park. So I get that too.
Yeah.
Again, I just don't see, like, people are just like, ah, well, if it goes wrong, it goes wrong. Given the firepower and the way that those bats came alive against the White Sox for Houston, and how they've been all year, I just don't know if you can treat this like, ah, well, we'll see, and we'll hope to have Evaldi go out there and mow him down game two, and we'll come back with a split. Like, I just think it's
too risky.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's risky. I mean, you're almost throwing the game away a little, Murray. I'm with you. I don't like it. I would send I'd send your best guy out there game one and go. And then I'd have held out Erod till game three at Fenway. I'd have pitched Sale in the second game. I'm trying to understand their rationale. My guess is they don't want Sale going out there down 0-1. I'll tell you the other thing, the more that I think about it, Evaldi would line up for game six. That I like. Because if you're going into game six in Houston needing the game, you have Evaldi there. If you're down 3-2, he's going that game. He can hack it. And then you get to game seven. Now it's all hands on deck anyway. So, you know, they'll live with that one no matter how it shakes out. Paul in Quincy. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, Tony. I sort of agree with what you guys have been saying. But I think the Red Sox are saying that Sale's not an opener. They're saying that, but I think he is an opener. And I think they have faith in the bullpen. The bullpen's rested. And, you know, to me, it's like a music metaphor. Like, Sale's the opening band and Evaldi's the headliner.
So, Paul, look, it's an interesting way of looking at it, and we could, you know, you're not wrong to question them saying whether he's an opener, because what does that mean? One inning? I don't think he's going one, but is he
three.
Going right? Is he going seven? No. So, if he makes it through five, I'd be surprised. So, I think you're on to something there. Our buddy Tommy is in Lynn. Tommy, what do you got, pal?
Oh, guys. This is what I got to say. Chris Sale goes three innings max, Maz. That's how you want to put him. Three innings max, and then we go from there. We can either put in Tanner Houck, or who else would you want to put in that situation afterwards? Let's go down the list.
So, Tommy, you know what? I don't want to go that far with it. To me, the Sale decision in and of itself is plenty to talk about for tonight, plenty to digest. So, you know, to me, coming out of the gate with him in game one, I don't like it. I prefer to be aggressive in a series, take the series by the throat, get up on Houston, put the pressure in them in game two, you know, go after their guys and make them play catch up. That's what I would do. The Red Sox, it feels to me, are saying, you know, and this should tell you that about the depths of the pitching staff too, that the Red Sox look at it and say, well, he's got to pitch somewhere. Sale has to pitch somewhere. And if you use that logic, you say, well, you could have held him out till game four. In theory, just pitch him one time in the middle. Typically, you know, if you're going by old standards, you'd put the worst pitcher in game four because he's not going to pitch again. He gets one start, that's it, and then he works out of the bullpen after that. They are not doing that with Sale, probably because they know it'll be a 2-1 series, or in all likelihood a 2-1 series at that stage. And they don't want a Sale pitching a pivotal game like that, whether they're up 2-1 or down 2-1. And they certainly don't want to take the chance that they're down 2-1 sending him into the mound. So they're going to find out. They're going to find out early. And you know what? So is Sale. We'll try to, if Jimmy can turn it around, or if we can turn it around, try to help him. But we'll tell you what Sale said about what to expect tomorrow night. And also, we'll have a guest in the next segment to break down the Astros and the Red Sox for us. June Lee of ESPN will join us. We'll do that after Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Here's the designated talker mouth.
Sweet.
Baseball Hour with Tony Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Chris, just the way, you know, the way things have gone for you your last couple times out there, you know, what did it mean for Alex to kind of show that confidence in you, even though, you know, you obviously weren't feeling your best the last couple times on the mound?
Yeah, this says a lot about him, you know, and his trust in me. You know, I appreciate that. I don't take that lightly. You know, there's no hiding from it. It's no secret. You know, I haven't been absolutely horrible, probably my two worst starts of my career back to back right leading up to this. So you know, I know what I had to do in between. You know, I had a job to do, and I knew that I had work to get in. You know, obviously following my last start in Tampa, I mean, I got off the mound every single day because I knew I had to get something going if we were going to be successful, and I know that I'm going to be a part of that. So, you know, just trying to iron out some kinks, get back into, you know, a good rhythm and find it and just ride it out as long as I can.
Chris Sale at his start in game one tomorrow night. Bit of a surprise announcement by the Red Sox today. And again, I think we all expected Sale might pitch in this series. I thought they might pitch him in game two. Instead, he gets the ball in game one. Eovaldi goes game two. We'll continue with your phone calls here in a minute. So just sit tight on the line because we'll bring in a guest that we have not had on the program before, but I am eager to speak with. And that is Jun Lee of ESPN, who joins us now via the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. June, thanks for joining, pal. Appreciate it.
And, hey, appreciate it, Matt.
Yep. So let me just ask you right out of the gate here. What do you think of the Sale decision? Are you surprised by it?
I am a little surprised, especially, I mean, given how bad he's looked the last two starts. I mean, I was generally concerned about Sale once he came off the injured list with, you know, putting this much pressure on him, given the fact that he's coming off a Tommy John surgery. So a little bit surprised. But I think that this is Alex Cora kind of going back to his core of believing in his guys. And Chris Sale has been obviously one of the guys that he's really leaned on over the course of his tenure as Red Sox manager. So in that way, it's not surprising, but there has been a lot of pressure on Sale this year to perform well coming off of that Tommy John surgery.
So, June, one of my theories here is that I thought he would pitch the second game, not the first. I thought they'd go with Eovaldi, but I wonder here if maybe part of the reason they're doing it in game one is they want to know what they've got there. They want to know early whether or not they can use him later in the series or not. Do you think there's any credence to that?
Yeah, and I think there's also part of it that they're trying to figure out whether or not moving forward, if they're able to go in the series, you know, further into the series, whether or not it's going to be most viable for him to pitch out the bullpen as well and see, you know, are they going to have to do a bullpen start at the beginning of the game? Are they going to go to Pivetta or Houck? I think that this is an opportunity for the Red Sox really early on to kind of assess what they have and then, you know, make a decision on how they're going to manage their bullpen, because I think that's been the biggest concern for this team this entire postseason. You know, I was having a conversation with, you know, multiple folks around the Red Sox before, you know, games in the Tampa series. And, you know, the bullpen situation is really just a game-by-game, out-by-out thing at this moment. So I think knowing whether or not Sale's going to be most viable as a starting pitcher or out of the bullpen is going to be really necessary for the Sox to just kind of plan out how they're going to approach the pitching in the series.
What kind of confidence do you have in Sale? Because, frankly, I don't have much.
I mean, I don't have a ton right now at the moment as well. But if there's any guy who, you know, has the stuff and has had the mental fortitude to get past these two awful starts that he's had against the Nationals and the Tampa Bay Rays, is Chris Sale. And so while I don't have a lot of confidence, especially just given the fact that, like, you know, he hasn't had the time to build up like he normally does over the course of an entire season. He didn't have the spring training to build up. He was really thrown straight into the fire of a pennant race. And I think a lot of people were talking about him as like a savior for this team when he did come off that injured list. So, you know, I don't have a ton of confidence, but it has nothing to do with Chris Sale. I think it has more to do with kind of the circumstances that surrounded his return to the team this season.
Yeah, so look, again, the injury is obviously a factor. And I, you know, to me, right now, I'm going to assume it's the factor. A lot of guys aren't the same 18 months out from Tommy John. So, you know, it takes a couple of years. I just don't think he's the same pitcher right now. That, you know, to me, that's what the determining factor is. When you look at this series, June, tell me what you see. What do you anticipate happening in this series, and who do you like?
I mean, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how Houston deals with their starting rotation, because it was announced that Lance McCullers is not going to be in the series. He's been the best pitcher for Houston over the course of the last couple of weeks. And I'm also very interested because Houston doesn't have a lot of left-handed pitchers, and Boston has a very right-handed, heavy lineup. I'm very curious to see how a guy like Kyle Schwarber is going to play in this series, because he's going to be facing a lot of right-handed pitching, and he's obviously been playing well recently as well. There's a couple of things that are interesting here. I think that the Red Sox are on an upswing. They've been very, very up and down throughout the course of the year. But when they've looked good, they've been, you know, among the best offenses in the entire sport. And so when you have those kind of two factors playing in, I think Houston's pitching, whether or not they're going to hold up health-wise is going to be the major factor in kind of determining the direction of the series.
Okay, so again, we're speaking with June Lean of ESPN.com, joining us via the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. I just, you know, it's always nice to get another perspective because you people all hear enough of me, that's for sure. And so June, when you look at it, though, is there a key matchup or a key element? I think Schwarber's a huge guy in this series. You touched on him. But is there a key thing you look at for the – because I think, frankly, Houston's the better team. I think Houston has more talent. It doesn't mean the Red Sox can't win. But if you ask me if both teams play to their ceiling, I think Houston wins this series. But you tell me, what do you see happening?
I mean, I would have said that about the Tampa Bay series as well, and then you saw Nick Pivetta and Tanner Houck basically save that bullpen over the course of that entire series, and you saw Kike Hernandez, you know, be one of the best players on this team. And I think it's when I was looking at the Red Sox team stats over the course of the year, like I was kind of surprised to look at, like, whoa, Kike Hernandez and Xander Bogaerts were tied for the team lead in B-War. I thought that was very surprising, just given, you know, how much Kike struggled at the beginning of the season. And so I think Schwarber is going to be a really, really big deal given how right-handed heavy this Astros pitching staff is going to be. But I really do think that this Fenway crowd is going to play a factor in this, as crazy as it might seem, because, you know, this has been one of the most electric Fenway Park crowds that I have seen in a really, really long time. It was at the 2018 World Series. And the games against the Rays and the Yankees in the wild card game exceeded anything that I saw from them. It was very, very clear after the ALDS that a lot of the players on the team really believed that the fact that the environment was as crazy as it was played a role in the Rays, who were less postseason experience, kind of being a little bit rattled when it came to the big moments. So, you know, obviously this Astros team is more experienced than Tampa Bay is. But I see all of those things kind of factoring into whether or not the Red Sox are going to be able to pull out of the ALCS.
Oh, I think Fenway was absolutely a factor. So listen, June, thanks a lot for coming on. Okay. We appreciate you helping out here, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Matt.
All right. Again, June Lee of ESPN.com via the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. I do want to get back to you some of your calls. Let me just say quickly, there was one thing he mentioned that I think is important to hit on, and that's Schwarber. The Astros are throwing a lefty tomorrow night. Okay. And that's Framber Valdez. When the Rays threw a lefty in game one, J.D. Martinez was not available. So Bobby Dalbec started first base and Schwarber DH'd. It'll be interesting to see what Cora does with his lineup tomorrow night. To my knowledge, Murray, there's nothing out there about the lineup yet. He won't do that till tomorrow. Is that the guess?
Correct. Yeah. And this is, you know, I asked you earlier off the air. So, you know, would this be really aggressive sitting Verdugo down because he hasn't been great against lefties? Again, it's a lefty going up tomorrow night for Houston. You put Schwarber in left because you don't really trust the defense at first. You obviously need him in the lineup, and you have Dalbec at first.
Okay, so look, I think if you go by what Cora has done in the past, Murray, that's what he would do. He'd put Dalbec at first. He likes him against lefties. Unless Valdez is, you know, and I got to check this, but listening to Mark DeRosa of the Major League Baseball Network, Valdez is a breaking ball guy.
But Verdugo's also been hot, too, so will people lose their minds and, like, think it's crazy if he has him out of the lineup? I mean, obviously he can come in and you know, or pinch hit or whatever, but I just think people on the surface would see that and be like, what?
Yeah, and it's an interesting decision, too, because then you put Schwarber in left field, as you just noted. So it's a tricky one. Between Dalbec, Verdugo, and Schwarber, someone is going to sit. Someone's going to sit. And it's a lefty on the mound, so ideally you want Dalbec in there. I'm assuming J.D. Martinez is going to DH. I can't imagine I'm going to take him out of there. So it'll be interesting to see how Cora plays that tomorrow. Let's go back to the calls. And Ryan in Andover. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, Tony, I'm just curious, do you think that a part of the reason they want to start Sale game one is to really build his confidence up and get him, you know, really thinking he's that dog who can take the ball? You know, hopefully they make a deep run or, you know, make the World Series. But,
so, Ryan, you know, it's a good theory, but what if he sucks?
What if he does suck, but, you know, what do you have to lose? Well, obviously game one, but otherwise, I think it's worth. I think they looked at the risk reward and made that determination.
Yeah, so I'll tell you what, Ryan. Yeah, so look, they want to get him. Of course, they want to get him going. You could just easily do that in game two, though. And what I think is, they want an answer. They want an answer. They want to know what he is. They need to get an idea of, can they use him later in the series or not? And if he's going to suck, and he might, at least they know early, and they're only down 1-0. You pitch him in game four and you lose, you could be down 3-1. So I think they wanted to, you know, before the thing even started, find out what the hell Sale's got. And if he does suck and you have to hook him early, well, you've got an entire staff that's been rested since Monday. So my guess is that's it. They're guarding against him sucking by going in game one. They're gonna try to sell it as some sort of honor for Sale or belief in Sale. The reality is it's just the opposite. Quickly, Drew in Boston. Drew, go.
Hey, Tony. So the thing has nothing to do with, I mean, I guess if he sucks, we all know he's going to suck. Okay, he sucks all the time in the playoffs. He sucked for the last 2 months. He sucks. The reason they're throwing him out there is because they want to know in game one if they're going to have to put him up for a phantom injury and then be able to at least get an arm for the next six games if they go six games. That's the reason.
They're
famous for it.
Yeah, so listen, they did it in the last series, Drew. Who's the arm they're going to add?
It doesn't matter. It's anyone's. Anyone's better than this bum.
Okay,
Jesus,
so
five innings and five runs, no innings.
So all I'm telling you is, I don't think that that's that big a factor either. Who's the guy they're going to add? Garrett Richards? Like, if the guy's not making the first 12, he's not a guy that you're going to rely on anyway. So look, again, you want an extra body. I get it. I'm not telling you that. Like, but let's look at what happened when Garrett Richards went out. Barnes came in. Did Barnes get any big innings? The only time he pitched in that series was when they were up 14-6, and he looked shaky. So now that saves an inning from someone else. And look, I'm not telling you that they couldn't make a decision on Sale. They could. But I just don't think they're going to get much benefit out of it. I think the real thing is we need to know. And we'll do it early because if he does let us down and his arm's not the same, we have a full staff rested behind him. And we have Evaldi going in game two, and we're better positioned to deal with it. That's what I think it's about.
Fastballs, curveballs, and breaking balls.
Eh.
The Baseball Hour on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.